Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're grateful to understand and know your presence from the fact of vindication. We appreciate that so much, knowing that you have appeared to us not only in signs and wonders, but you yourself, Lord, manifested in the pillar of fire and that taken by camera, Lord, proven authentically who it is, Lord. At least we know by the fact of a prophet telling us the truth, which we do believe and partake of tonight. And we know, Lord, in spite of what we know, what is assuredly the truth in this perfect faith of this hour, it's not that we have reservations, it's simply that we do not know, Lord, all what we'd like to know. Perhaps we never will know, and we'll just have to wait until moment by moment you bring those things to us we need to know. And then finally, Lord, word upon word, come to a full maturity. And that is really fine by us, knowing that's how you did work it out in days gone by, and we'll no doubt work it out the same way today. In the meantime, help us to possess our souls in patience by believing and waiting on you, and not moving from anything whatsoever that lies in your word, but to stay with it, knowing that you have proven it to be correct, you have vindicated it. Surely it will come to pass, not one jot or tittle missing, and not one of your children missing, giving us this faith as we never had it before. Grant a real blessing to us tonight as we study your word. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now tonight we're on number 8 of looking at Brother Branham's message and up to page 20. And Brother Branham, in bringing this message, Easter Seal, has taken us back to the resurrection of Christ. That is the first half of the first resurrection, wherein the Old Testament bride, the Old Testament saints, which would be the Old Testament bride, came forth with Jesus, and both he and they who came forth from the graves and were then in immortal flesh were seen by many in Jerusalem, and also Jesus himself was seen above 500 for many days. Now then, in this message, Brother Branham clearly teaches that the same Spirit that raised Jesus and also raised the saints came back at the Feast of Pentecost to baptize his children. That's the new bride, the start of the new bride, with the same Holy Spirit. And when these were Spirit-filled, they began to do the same mighty works that Jesus did, such as healing the sick and raising the dead. Now, you'll notice he specifically brings that to our attention, and he doesn't wander afield as though he were going to make a most explicit and exact duplication of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Seeing it was the same Spirit of God in the saints as indwelt Jesus, it was certainly true that the Spirit would perform in one or many, or one and the many, the works that Christ had performed or the Holy Spirit had performed when he indwelt Jesus. Now that's very logical, because you're back to genetics. And you'll find that in species, there has to be the innate intelligence, which has to work then according to that particular life. And then if that particular life is in the particular vessel that's designated, it just simply stands to reason that the same thing is going to occur. You know, let's face it. It has to run true to form, because seed runs true to form. As Brother Branham said, and here's what he said, if one spirit makes a man act this way, it makes the other one act that way. Notice he brings it down to one spirit. He doesn't say two spirits. Now there's where people go astray, and they think the devil can do the things that Jesus does. Most people forget a little simple statement in the Bible. There, all power is of God. And there is no power that is not of God. So therefore, every bit of power which is dunamis, an actual ability to perform, to work, and exousia, which means authority, there isn't anything the devil has, but actually came from God and is in a state of perversion. See, yes, you've got to remember that, or you will never understand the Bible. It's like it says, all things are pure to the pure in heart. Now, that's because there's nothing that God made that wasn't good. See, that's why I've said on different occasions here, the devil does not have a word of his own. There's not one thing the devil has that is not of God in the first place. That's why Brother Branham could say, what is a lie? It is the truth perverted. See, you haven't come that far yet to where it is common to us in the sense that it's all back to God and His original plan and purpose. But we are fast approaching, as Brother Branham held his hand up and he said, see the light now, more I press this toward the wall, the more it is no longer a shadow, a negative, it is getting truer and truer to form. He said, how ridiculous it would be, he said, if you had an elephant and the shadow of a spindly little man. Well, you can't do it. You've got to see where you have the generic and the genetic. And it simply runs true. Like he said, original spoken words, original seed. And so, all right, he says here then, if one spirit makes a man act this way, it makes the other one that way. Now, there again, unless you realize that every sermon Brother Branham is preaching, he is always speaking of himself on the grounds of the individual vindicated by the presence of God and the manifestation being absolutely of God and not of a man. And you know in Scripture, he brought up very carefully how that anybody who came against Moses was not tolerated by God. And so you can't run with this statement here like the Pentecostals and say if the one spirit makes a man act this way, it makes the other one act that way. See, there's where I don't have a beef with Tommy Osborne because I mentioned his name. Look, the man means nothing to me. He's in Europe. He speaks French. He's having a great time, maybe on the West Bank or God knows where he is. And that's fine. But he's the one who said when he saw Brother Branham, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, that's the way it's done in the Bible. You can do the same thing, hogwash. See what I'm trying to tell you? The hand is not the head, the nose is not the eye, and the foot is not the arm, period. Explanation with it. So when Brother Branham makes statements like this, you can't take it out of context of the man and the message being one. See? Now remember, if one person does it, the body does it. How many prophets does God have at one time? One major at a time. So you see, we must watch the statement. All right, let's read it again. If one spirit makes a man act this way, it makes the other one act that way. Now, in there, you can see a continuity. The continuity is when God establishes a church order and He puts men in the church, like a fivefold ministry, which is under a prophet. And that would be a true word prophet. Then you see in the congregation, there can rise up people who complement the ministry and they have gifts. And if that's set in the church, then it is absolutely true that there never should have been a lack of the manifestation coming from the truth in the church. What happened? A perversion set in. Death set in. And when you have death setting in, then it's like the tomato plant that is perfectly healthy. It cannot be attacked by insects. Now, you let that tomato plant begin to die, which it will begin to die. It can't help itself, it's not immortal. Then you watch the bugs begin to come. Now you apply that to mankind. Go back to the Garden of Eden, come to the church. If one spirit makes a man act this way, it makes the other one act that way. So therefore, what happened at Pentecost and was established in the church, delineated upon in Ephesians and especially in Corinthians, where errors were corrected, how they were using gifts wrong, it is absolutely sure and certain that it should be within the church even to this day. But the gifts should be in the place where they're supposed to be. Otherwise, you run a perversion. So all you got to do is go back there to the Alpha, and it never changes. It ends up Omega, and Omega is exactly like the original. Hey, God doesn't lose any sleep and lose a trick. No, let's read further. If one spirit, and not one spirit only now, makes a man act this way, it makes the other one act that way. So how can anyone say he has the Holy Spirit and deny the works of God? That is absolutely what Jesus said. If he said, if I had not done the works, no other man did they not sin, but now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. People right today blaspheme the Holy Ghost, call up the devil, deny that God heals, says the devil can heal, and they're absolutely serpent-seed, and they'll swear. Hey, listen. They'll even prove they love God by lifting your head off your shoulders. The Bible says they will do it. And they're going to do it. They've been doing it all along. And yet, Brother Branham distinctly says, anybody who claims to be born again, because that's full of the Holy Ghost, and denies the works of God, and you're going to start right from the beginning, where God is dealing with the people. And that's what the psalmist said. Moses, knowing, he said that Moses understood the way of God. He knew it. But all the people saw was the works. Now, if you can't put understanding with works or revelation with manifestation, then you will draw your own conclusions. And when you draw your own conclusions, you are finished. Now, listen, this is, I'm just talking plain straight and just so sweet, I'm almost sick of myself. Now, let me read it again. If one spirit makes a man act this way, it makes the other one act that way. So how could anyone say he has the Holy Spirit and deny the works of God? See, that's where the Trinitarians go completely off balance. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We say, what is the Father? Well, he's Holy Ghost. Well, what's his Holy Ghost business then? Well, that's Holy Ghost Spirit is what comes out of him. So now, this is like a spirit coming out of him. That isn't true. When you say the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, you cannot simply take that statement and run with it. Let's go just back to the Bible and show you what I'm talking about. Yeah, we'll get to talking later on about this message, but I feel I should say this. All right. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, that tells you exactly that God did all the creating, period. And there's not one single solitary thing said here about evolution. Now, watch. The earth was of form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, right away, you're thinking, well, a spirit went out of God and did so-and-so. What he's doing is he's talking about creation. Then notice, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now look it. That's identifying the nature of God. So therefore, when you see creation, God has got to be behind it. When you see a healing, God has got to be behind it. In other words, it's the definitive. How do I know it's the Spirit of God and not the spirit of hell? Because thus saith the Lord, is what the prophet has, and the manifestation comes forth, giving him the right to declare the word. And a man say, that's not God, call it the devil. That man is serpent seed. He's blasphemed the Holy Ghost. He's blasphemed God. He will go to hell. I will see him there at the white throne. We say, Brother Vail, you're vehement. You're your judgment. Oh, yeah, you. What are you? Huh? What are you? Hey, I'll get into that before the night's over by the grace of God. Forget the hour tonight. We may go 2 hours. All right. Now this statement or question has a far greater reach than if Brother Branham is simply speaking of signs following the Word. It goes to John 14:7-12 and Mark 16, and don't get the two mixed up. So let's go to John 14. Hey, just open up right on the dot. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and him from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Now that's definitive. Right there, definitive. You cannot see God, you cannot see the Father, but under certain conditions you do see, which means you understand because you can identify. All right. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. In other words, this is the manifestation, and this is the conduit. And here is where Israel went haywire. They could not believe that God would do this. I want to ask Israel one question. How do they get to be sons of God? How were they the chosen ones? They couldn't go back to Adam through Abraham, their serpent seed, let's face it, and they understood serpent seed. In other words, they knew something about the nature of God, but they denied it when it came to the showdown, showing when they denied the nature of God, they themselves did not have the nature or life of God. Come on. That's all there is to it. There's no big mystery. I'm not teaching anything hard. He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. Now notice, he doeth the works. The authority to speak the word was by the work, which only God can do. Like Brother Branham quotes Nicodemus, we know your teacher sent from God. No man can do the works that you do. Well, who's doing them? Well, God's doing them. What part have you got with God? I'm the Son of God. Kill him. You talk about idiots. I don't understand. Listen, they knew in that day what I'm preaching here tonight, and don't think they didn't. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been condemned by Christ. They know the truth. Now he said, believe me that I am the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He said, you've got to start somewhere, and the place that you start is works. Just like you know it's God, based upon the work of what? Creation. And that's exactly what the book of Genesis said. God ceased from his works. That's right. I'm going to tell you what. He said, my Father worketh, and I work. He said, now you've seen back here, and you know the Word. Now watch what's coming out of it. Since he died upon Calvary, rose again, then you watch that. These signs follow them that believe. And Brother Branham is talking about the very thing I'm talking about, is that which followed, which is quickening, which is resurrection, which we are in now as the second half of the first resurrection. Now, don't forget that as we read this message. But you'll be prone to do it. Yeah, how would you like to be one of these guys that works on the high steel... steel girders. Understand, Aaron had almost a little old get together with death. What was he, 7 stories up, Joe, when he blacked out or something? Could have been killed. See, listen, don't you know the secret of saving your life in a dangerous place is always being aware constantly of where you are and what you're doing and somebody else is doing? Absolutely. See, we're looking at this here. And people don't want to take it to heart. Now watch. He that believeth on me, there it is, and he that believeth on me, now that is in the singular. This is John 14 and 12. This is not Mark 16. Over there it's they. But here it is a singular person. He will do even greater works than I do because I go to my Father. Now, you can put that down as the person of the Holy Ghost, and that is absolutely wonderful, and I say it is correct. But remember, Jesus had to manifest the Holy Ghost. He had to be a conduit. Everything that lies in Rhema has got to come to Logos. And when it comes to Logos, God has got to have somebody there to explain. Oh, they didn't want to hear Brother Brown explain anything. They didn't want to hear Jesus explain anything. They didn't want to hear Moses explain. They didn't want any prophet to explain. Except the little seed that wasn't serpent. Okay. Different from Mark 16. All right. Now going to page 20, paragraph 99. And reading further, Brother Branham again takes his place as a vindicated prophet with the right to reveal the Word of God and challenges the people as to the true evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost, the reality of the hour of the resurrection. Now remember, that's what this sermon is about, so don't let your minds wander. See, that's the value of what we do here in this church, and I've been doing for years. And you notice it gets simpler all the time, and the simplicity lies in the fact that William Branham is standing there as a vindicated prophet, absolutely vindicating himself in the sense he's explaining what it's all about and taking the Word and revealing it. And this, by the way, is the ultimate, which comes to the third pull under the seals. Remember, the sign in the hand was little teeny birds, number one. The discerning was number two, bigger birds. And the end time was the large birds, which headed back east, which was the opening of the seals, which was identical to the sword in the hand, where he screams out, he said, "Why, that's the sword of the king. And bring on your holy vesture with the holy word of God standing by. Dress a bride with the sword." Why, sure, because it cuts off all the denominational creeds. We'll get into that, too. And now the Word of God can take effect. All right, we said we're going to start here on page 20 and number 99. Now, I just read what he said in the previous part about one spirit makes a man act, they will make another. How can you have say you got the Holy Ghost, deny the works of God? Can't be done. Notice, God's life, which is in the Greek, was called Zoe. Now remember, when you are talking of God's life, and that life is being introduced to mankind, and mankind cannot see that, then you will find which is in the Greek. The Zoe, which is like zoology, refers to all kinds of life. So God's going to come down, and He's going to do something for us, and we can't see Him, and we can't hear Him, but we know He's out there somewhere on the grounds of nature. Then He's going to have to work with us in the realm of which we are, and in Him was that Zoe, the ability to come right down and work with us. See and show Himself. And that's eternal life. Because these bodies will be eternal. All the birds and beautiful things are going to come back. Notice God's life, which is in the Greek, was called Zoe, moving through them and in them, quickens their mind to His Word. Now let me say this real quietly now. The Spirit of God that moves among the people, the Spirit of God that moves among the people, moves among the people, among, not in, but among. Otherwise, why did He say it? Let me say this now. Among the people quickens the mind of the person to the promise of God. Now, He doesn't say minds, He says mind. So, right, the Spirit of God that's manifested, that's moving amongst the people, as Brother Branham said, when you see God come down from heaven, stand before groups of men and declare Himself as ever He did, you couldn't hide if you tried. Positively manifesting God, He's letting you know, as the Apostle Paul said, we have the mind of Christ, and He's talking about Himself. And anybody else can have the mind of Christ on the grounds that he's got the Holy Spirit to recognize the Word. Now that's real Zoe. Well, Brother Bill, I've been healed. Brother Bill, I showed it. I did this. Hey, praise God, I'm glad you did. I got no fault there. We should do more of it here. If it was in order, and we know it's real, who's got discerning of spirits? If you got it, we'll build a building on that. We'll pay. I don't care how much we got to pay. We'll raise the money. We'll build a little room in the back here somewhere. I'm not being derisive now, I hope, but the point is, Brother Brand said somebody's got a discerning of spirits before he can operate those gifts. You know, church has got an order. Now, he said right here, let me say quietly, the Spirit of God that moves among the people quickens the mind of the person to the promises of God. In other words, there is somebody here that's got the ability to have contact with God, to know what God wants, what He wants to do, what He wants to give, what He wants in return. And if you can't see that in Moses standing by the burning bush, there is something wrong with you after all of these years. You're just sitting here. You better shake yourselves. Absolutely and truthfully. See, it does it. Look what I'm trying to show you something. Now remember, paragraph 100 follows 99 that says here, God comes into Zoe. God is able, as Brother Branham brought in Revelation, and I put a whole sermon on it. God forming himself in human flesh. God coming right down here conversing with men. Doing it by way of the prophet, coming to us. Becoming flesh that it might be done. And remember, that is Holy Spirit, eternal life. The eternal life in there. Now he said here, based upon this, he's let me say real quietly now. Spirit of God moves among the people, quickens the mind of the person to the promise of God. Here he stands right there like the Apostle Paul. Just think, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here even today. Look, I'm trying to show you something. Realize that I'm speaking now of the church. I'm speaking now of the church. And remember, when he talks of church, you've got wise and foolish virgin, you've got make-believer and unbeliever. You say, well, what would an unbeliever do there? Well, come on, man, there's money in the church. You can do good business by going to church. You're smart like a fox. You're stupid to stay away from church. There's where the good gullibles are. Most of them think anything goes, you know. Oh, come on. This is too late in the day to be fooled. Now he said, listen, I'm trying to show you something here. Realize I'm speaking now of the church. Now listen, it recognizes, it also quickens to life in him. What he's trying to tell you here at this point is what he's been saying all along. When that word comes forth vindicated, and even when the vindicator is not there with the vindicated prophet, but already vindicated with life, and you hear it, something within you quicken to it. I remember Brian Kasurik went out there to Minneapolis, and he was playing football that time with whoever they are out there, that team out there in Minneapolis. He was their kicker. And he came to church because he'd been hearing something, and he came in his shorts and what have you, so they took him aside and got a pair of pants on. I wouldn't care if he'd sat their shorts on. Didn't bother me, and he didn't understand anyway. But he said, you know, he said, I never understood one word, but I knew it was truth. And that's right. I'm not trying to give myself and himself credit. Just trying to let you know what Brother Branham said is absolutely truth here. And I'm trying to show you something. When you really understand here what we are talking about, that the power of God, it was the resurrection of Jesus Christ that brought about the fact of Pentecost, there was something there. Now that showed the whole world. And Peter went out and opened the door to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Then the Holy Ghost came back, and he came to one person called the Apostle Paul, who received the revelation. Now he went forth, and before he said one word to anybody, he demonstrated in the power of God that he had the God-given authority to bring that word. After him there were signs and wonders. Now I ask you a question. The Gentile knew nothing about God. He went down there to Mars Hill or somewhere it was one time, and he saw this strange altar to the unknown God. He said, I see, he said, you're great worshipers. Now he said, there's an altar here to the unknown God. Him I'm going to declare unto you. And you know something? They listen. And the miracles that attested to the power of God, because it says in Corinthians and Romans and right through the whole book that he was a vindicated prophet. There was something at that time that was quickened toward what? He was bringing, and to him who gave it, which is Christ, to his messenger. Right back to the eagle scream. The chicken, the little eagle heard the scream. It didn't matter where he was and what was going on. It didn't matter anything. What mattered was he an eagle? And he was. Now, although they were only his attributes to begin with, now he's talking about the church. This is to the body, this is to the bride. There's everybody sitting there, all hodgepodge. They were only his attributes to begin with. Now he's showing you the genesis, where they were, bringing up the genetics. Eagle will hear eagle, and a chicken will squawk and run. Boy, I tell you, they'll leave the manure pile in a hurry and run for their own little denominational shelter. But if an eagle ever hears it, little baby eagle, he's on the manure pile, he'll leave that manure pile so quick they won't know what hit him. See, now listen. Now watch. But God said in this day, back in the beginning, that is that day there, John Doe will be my servant, millions of years ago. Now John Doe, listen, was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, came in the world speaking lies, because he is mortal. What brought death? Sin. So every single person is mortal. What's he full of? Sin. What's he going to do? Lie. Cheat. Surfeit. Go so far as to murder. In my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Now he's talking about the flesh. He's not talking about the soul. The soul and the flesh are two different things. There's a gene in your soul. So, all right. Now, watch. He maybe get a little religious feeling. He'll join a church. Maybe a Pentecostal church. I don't know. But he'll join one. Now, if he hears the eagle scream, he'll leave the church. He might join anything. But let him get under the atmosphere of God once. Now, what is the atmosphere of God? It is absolutely the Word and the life that comes from that Word. So he's getting under the atmosphere. And also, you know, he heals, raises the dead, does all these things. John Doe is found to recognize who his father is, just as that eagle recognized who the mother was. Now, what is the recognition of your father and his of you? Now, let's get it down pat. The word of the hour, which in our day has been vindicated, do you believe it? I say, that's your standing. Your body's full of sin, full of mortality. Like one fellow said, right over your mirror, born to die. The minute you come in this world, in your flesh is heir to all diseases and all problems. That's going to go. But there is a soul which can be immortal in the sense of whether you're seed or not. Now, let's just run this down here. And remember, it is resurrection, it is Easter, we are resurrection, we're talking about it. This is the vindicated prophet, the hour in which we live. And remember, the spirit of wisdom and revelation comes into the church and lets the church know the hour in which it is living, and the deep secret things of God is what Brother Branham said about Ephesians 1:17 and Daniel 7:8. Now, watch, it has got to realize it. Now, the word realize means it brings it to a reality. To realize means that you can discern. It means that you've got it figured out. See? Well, say, do you realize this was Mr. So, Mr. Henry? Oh, was that Mr. Henry? Oh, that's a whole new ball of wax. You thought it was Mr. George or somebody. See, realization has the word real in it, R-E-A-L, which has truth in it. So, you're talking about here, it has got to come to the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the light. The God of the Amen is Isaiah, God of the truth. So, at this end time, this little seed, this little John Doe, has got to come to reality, the truth. Only that John Doe is God's attribute, that is become a word spoken, and then the Holy Spirit speaks that word out. All right, now here, he's back there like a rhema. But the rhema was produced by the Spirit. So therefore, you cannot separate rhema and Spirit. Now then, when it becomes Logos, and it's that Spirit doing it, you cannot separate Logos and rhema. I don't care about this guy up there in Chicago and places. I have no time for that nonsense, and these preachers around here are fooled by him. See? Now look, only that John Doe is God's attribute, but he's going to come to reality. That has become a spoken word. In this hour, you have the man that was foreknown elected, predestinated, and he stands there. Then the Holy Spirit speaks that word out. Now, you can take this to Brother Branham himself, and you can take it to each individual. But if the word is being spoken out, then you're going to take it directly to Brother Branham. Then when you in turn become a witness and you speak it, you're not a prophet, but it shows you're a true child of God. Now watch, here it is. He calls him, gives him everlasting life, and brings him into the presence of God, God's word. Now that's, you could say, well, that means God's logos there. No. He's telling you, Frank, that if you understand the nature of God, you will know exactly what is word and what isn't word. You know when God's operating. And if it's God's operating, it's got to be God's word. You got to know what the Spirit of God's doing. Okay. So you see here that in the church, he has become knowledgeable. This person. He might not even be born again. He can be knowledgeable concerning the things that he's taught. And he might know a lot of things that are right. But there's still error there. So now, when the truth comes, he will begin to change and build word upon word. Now look in verse, paragraph 102. Look, God had to see him when he saw Jesus. It was finished, a finished work that God finished with Jesus when he said, "It's finished." All the plan was finished. And when the fear of God comes upon you, and you are truly one of God's attributes that he spoke of, doesn't say that when it comes upon you, you become one. It says when the Spirit of God, that comes, and you are one of those attributes standing there. And let's face it, the Word of God isn't going to come unless there are attributes there. So the Word of God is coming, you are an attribute, because that's what we're looking at. See? Spoke of. Now, if you're not an attribute, and that Word comes, you'll wonder, you'll fluster, run here, run there, and everything else, and never come to the knowledge of the truth. See? If you're not a seed, you aren't going to get it, period. You can't. He said to those Pharisees back there, he said, there's no place in you for the word. See? It's like those poor foolish virgins. The oil had gone out of the word they had, so now what happens? There's no word. No oil, no nothing. Now they got to get oil. By the time they get oil, remember the bride has gone in and they say, wasn't this supposed to happen? Wasn't that supposed to happen? Hey. They got it too late. Now you see there's no Holy Ghost for their word. So what happened? They die. But they come up in the second resurrection. You follow what I'm saying? It's not hard to understand. Now, these others won't come to the knowledge, see? Only the foreknown, elected, and predestinated get to be Easter. Get to be resurrection. Get to be seen in Christ, of whom God said, my plan is finished. It's all wrapped up in this. And he had to bring him forth from the dead. And the proof of it is the baptism with the Holy Ghost, that great comforter, which Brother Branham now says is your abstract. The proof positive. Nothing can be done about it. Taken from it, added to it. Every single child of God will be absolutely redeemed, as Paul was able to say, as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all will be made alive, but everyone in his own order. And remember, there's an order for the wise virgin, there's an order for the foolish virgin. There's an order right down the line. Now, we could read 2 Timothy 3:1 to 9. Maybe we will. As I say, we don't worry about time, and because the main thing is to get the cross what Brother Branham is trying to bring, because this sermon can be heard by a Pentecostal, and it doesn't mean anything, but hallelujah, whoopee, we're going just the way we are. The prophet told us we could. It won't work. Every message was a corrective teaching message, and in it there had to be the substance of truth which had gone awry, bringing us right back to the first church age. All right, you understand what I'm saying? I said, so keep your mind on this message. That was 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, 1 to 9. Know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come for men to be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and holy. If that isn't this generation, what's going on now? Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Now they got religion. But they deny the source of what religion should come from. They're putting God to one side. They don't care about Him. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Now watch. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do they resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but their folly shall proceed no further. For they shall receive no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all, as theirs also was. Now, it tells you right there that at this particular hour, there's learning. And learning, learning, learning. That's why they believe in evolution. Do you know that it was said years ago there would come a time, and I think the time has come now, that every 6 months knowledge will double itself. And how does it double itself? It does it by the computer. It does it by scientific research. Men will write whole books, maybe 600 pages, having studied what? The wing of one butterfly. What do they do with their knowledge? It doesn't matter. It's no good because the knowledge of the Most High isn't in it. Now you've got your Shelley Winters and all these goofballs with their reincarnations and all the stupid stuff that's going on. Unmitigated hogwash. Ever learning, but they can never come to the knowledge because you can't learn truth. No way, it's got to be given to you. It's got to be something like the eagle in there. There's a response. Because you see, if you're a seed of God, you're absolutely quickened to that word. And in being quickened to the word, you immediately swing right to the author. Because remember, there's an author and finisher of our faith. There's an author and finisher of Revelation, and Alpha is Omega. So therefore, the finish of your revelation must be 100% with Revelation number 1 that starts back in the Garden of Eden, and you'll walk right to the Tree of Life. You say, you mean to tell me a mortal man like I am, dying in sin and so on, the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sin till there be no evidence of it. How can you make a man a sinner? The blood perfects the bride. All of these things the prophet said, and you've got to put them in their proper context. Now listen, in 103, if you are one of those, the old things pass away right quick. What old things? What's he talking about? He's talking about revealed word, the eagle scream. The old word you have, the old creeds, the old dogmas, all of that stuff has passed away. See, it's all gone. No way do we want to fool with that. Now, and you become new. Be renewed in your minds. And the plan of salvation is finished. See? Now look. When you come to this place of the eagle scream, and you have responded, and God has responded, you are now one with the Word. The Word is one with you. You are that Word. God in you, Christ in you, all one. Coming to the end. Now, he said, the plan of salvation is finished. Gone right back. It says you're ready to obey every word that God ever spoke of you. Now, obey every word that God ever spoke of you. How are you going to obey that? The obedience of faith. Now, he didn't say to, he said of. Now, I've got to give the man credit for being intelligent. Knowing what he's doing. See? For you're submissive to His Word. All right. What is that all about? It's all about Easter, resurrection. You, me, the people of the message. So, all right. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a command, a message, a revelation, putting the church in order. The voice of the archangel, trump of God, and dead in Christ rise first. And there isn't anybody understands what that is. They have no way of knowing it. In other words, God is bringing forth a passive faith, which is a revelation. And because you are seen, you will believe it. And everybody else will say, well, I don't see that. They don't have to, because they don't even believe in vindication. And when they do believe in vindication, they're like the Pharisees that said, hey, what you did was really good, but now you give us the kind of sign that we want you to give. Like the Church of Christ said, well, oh, well, the kid, no doubt the kid was healed. But what we really meant was, we'll come here with this little girl and we'll cut her wrist, and when it bleeds, you heal her. Brother Brad said, you're a father of the devil. Oh, he shouldn't say that. That's not nice. Well, if he'd have said anything else, he'd have been a liar. Who needs a prophet that lies to you? She. You might as well say, hey, you're an ugly bird if I ever saw one. Not, hey, you're the sweetest, nicest looking person. You know, I'm sure that you could compete with Ronald Coleman. Well, take a good look. I compete with Ronald Coleman? I think he's dead. The only way I can compete with him is the fact he's dead. Because he ain't got a nose now and I got one. What do you want a prophet that lies to you for? Come on, you don't want that. You are in the presence of God, and vindicated truth. See? And that's exactly where 1 Corinthians 15 comes in. And it tells you. At the time of 1 Corinthians 15, now is Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also resurrection of the amongst the dead. For as Adam all die, even so Christ should all be made alive. Now watch, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's his presence. It tells you there's an institution of church order brought in. And I like that. Because God is working in his church to bring everything into submission to Christ, which means the physical headship can come. The spirit is here, and the physical we will meet. That's marvelous. Just have to believe that and understand that to that degree. Now, notice, he said, you're submissive to his word. The first, now, they came to Jesus and said, what are the works of God? What do you do? And he said, to believe on me is the work of God. You start there, or other works don't mean anything. Like James said, I'll show you my faith by my works. Paul said, there ain't no such thing as justification by faith. And that's exactly true. By works, rather. Justification by works. Justification by faith. Abraham believed God. What else could he do? God gave him the Holy Ghost. Then you watch that man move forward. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. So Brother Branham says here, you're submissive to his word. Now, what is the message of the last hour that you're submit to? The age of the mind. Repent, repent, repent. And I wouldn't give you two bits for your feelings that you get all woozy and gushy, and you stand up here and say, well, I'm Brother Dale, I just felt bad against Brother Soans. I said, get out of this church now. If you feel bad against him, you go to him outside of these walls. Because you're 100% off the word to stand up and say one thing. I've seen churches do it. And every time they do it, they get into sin. Why? Because they're off the word, they're already in sin. Sure. That's not hard to understand. That's simple as ABC. So therefore, we become submissive to his word. What is his word? I'm outside the church. I'm standing at the door knocking. Come on out and listen to me. Come out and hear my people. Oh, no, no, it's great in here. We're rich in Christ and good, so you make him a liar. So here's the vindicated God. You say, I worship God. I love God. But you're saying, hey, liar. I hate to say this, but you're the devil. So I'm a nice guy, and I don't like to make anybody the devil, but you're the devil. How so? Why are you healing the sick? If this isn't a sick, depraved world, brother, sister, in the church, I don't even know why I'm here. There's nothing wrong with us, it's wrong with them. See? Now, submissive to his word, come under divine order, come under the truth. Now, 104, the contract, exactly, the abstract to the contract, the title deed belongs to you, the debts are all paid, it's all struck off, as it was at the day of Pentecost. Now, what's he telling you about? He's telling you at this very hour, the presence of the Holy Ghost, people being baptized, And there is a prophet revealing the word, shows you the abstract has come in view, the plan of which you said it was finished, salvation is completed. You are standing right here, and he said you're the sinless, righteous, perfect bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't even do it. You got trapped into it. Hey? People want to tell you we're going back to Pentecost. Anyone gets in this, and I'm not against those things, but going back to Pentecost is repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of sin. Yeah. Remember, Brother Bram Lucille said, this is thus saith the Lord, you haven't been baptized correctly, you're going to get baptized again. You take that step, you're in good shape. But then from then on, you better believe that word, because anybody can get baptized in water. And anybody can talk in tongues. Anybody can heal the sick and raise the dead, just like Judas. But everybody doesn't come to the word. That's the criterion. The gifts are bringing the churches together. The Word of God is driving us out and driving us to Christ. It's the only criterion you got. Do what you want. 105. Now notice this quickening. Let us notice the quickening. The quickening spirit on other people. Well, he's talking evidently then about a bride church and other people. Now listen, this quickening spirit that comes. Now there's a lot of mockery of it. There's a lot of people that really think they've got it when they haven't. A lot of people do it because they've got some false impression of what they've seen other Christians do. In other words, they simply watch what the church is doing and they say, I'll do what he says and that's it. But it won't work. Can't work. Now watch 107. Satan can impersonate any of that. Any of what? That other people are doing. Other people. But he also spoke of one man. When the Holy Ghost is amongst the people, when he says, you see God descend from heaven, stand before groups of men, and declare himself as ever he did, and he said, God not only went down to Egypt with Moses, and manifested himself in signs and wonders, but he himself appeared in a flame upon a fire upon Mount Sinai, so today we have his picture. Understand that? Now he said, these other people out there, you can sell out to the group, the organization, or the independents, and not sell out to God. And you sell out to God on one condition in the end time, he that believeth on me, greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And Brother Branham stood right there, and he said what even Christ did not dare to say. Except in the general terms of the end time. Brother Branham said, if he told me to go and raise Abraham Lincoln or George Washington from the dead, I'd go and stand there by his grave and raise him the next morning or the arms of the earth could shook me down. That's perfect faith, brother, sister. You know your God in a way that nobody else knows him, and you'll speak in a way that nobody else can speak, but they'll say, how? There's nothing to it, nothing to it. Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard in your life? Here's a guy that can buy out Rockefeller, make all the Jews look sick with their lousy paper, and Rome look like a two-bit piece that isn't even there. But we got more than him. We got more than him. Can you understand the audacity? Can you understand the stupidity? Can you understand the ferocity of those people? Can you understand Satan? You cannot understand God except he manifests through the prophet and his people. Neither can you understand the devil except you see him manifest through his people. You just think you can. Now, his picture's right in his Bible here. I read part of it. What his gang's like. Never come to knowledge of the truth. And they'll hold the truth back in unrighteousness. Satan can impersonate that. Missionaries, you know, can see it impersonated. Shouting, dancing, speaking in tongues, and all these things. They can see it impersonated anywhere. Now he said, Satan can get into people and manifest himself. Yeah, absolutely, among the heathen, who even deny there is such a thing as Jesus Christ being the Son of God. And you got that right here amongst the Christian Scientists and the Methodists and a whole bunch of others. And if you could give a good sign that Jesus wasn't the Son of God, you could make a stick with the Pentecostals, I'm almost positive. I said, I'm almost. Now, from here on, Brother Branham begins to teach what error abounds in the churches. And he starts to go to the Word for illustration. So let's read 108, and you'll see the third pull in here. They do all those things themselves. But the real, true quickening spirit that comes to a believer quickens him to God's Word. That's back to eagle food again, right back to where he lives. That man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, that statement can be used by anybody. Any big mouth hypocrite. Any lying deceiver. Any Bible student that wants to trick people and take them for a loop. And any sincere person who's absolutely convinced that he is right. He will say, man shall not live by bread alone. And he's absolutely true in what he says. But let's go to the Bible and read it. And see why Brother Branham is saying it. Matthew, the 4th chapter, of course. That's exactly where it is. Now, then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, when was that? When the manifestation came down according to Matthew, the 3rd chapter. When Jesus was in the water, and he was completely filled with the Holy Ghost, and is now sent on his mission to both do and to teach. This is what happened. He'd fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was in hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made into bread. Now watch. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What is he saying here? He's saying, listen to this. You're the prophet. If you're the Son of God, you're the Son of Man, you're that prophet Moses spoke of. Now he said, being that, let me tell you what to do. You will turn the stones into bread because you are hungry. Now notice he was attempting to take the ministry of Almighty God, God in Christ, and turn it to his own personal advantage rather than that he should bring the living word vindicated to the people according to Almighty God. What's the first thing that Satan wanted? To dispose God and get worship. Why do you think the churches want big churches and everything else? A million more in 54, as Brother Branham kept telling us about the Baptists. And he said, Methodists want the Baptists want the Presbyterians, and he said, the Pentecostals want them all. And within a few years, it just about had them. Because just about everybody's Pentecostal, whether they want to agree or not, because they now agree with the doctrine that is not a scripture doctrine, and that is the so-called evidence. Now, in here, with this here, he said, now, if you're the Son of God, you have the ability to prove that you are the legitimate ones, and your words are the correct words by having the great, tremendous miracles that set you forth as that one. And so Satan said, now I'll tell you what to do. And Jesus said, it's written. And he said, well, all right. He said, get up in the temple and do some great big circus act, a stupendous thing. Really show something to the people. He said, it is written. Well, he said, fall down and worship me. Well, just remove all of that. And he said, you can have it all. He said, it is written. Now, what are we looking at here? Brother Branham quoting this very thing shows you that Jesus himself was tempted that he would not veer to the Word. In other words, he wouldn't zero in on it. So therefore, the whole key is, as it always was the key, vindication points to the Word. So if you take vindication and you move it into any other area, you are not the seed of God. You are not the prophet of God. What did Balaam do? He never had any signs and wonders, but he prophesied. And he prophesied correctly, then he took the very prophecy that was correct and spun it in order to captivate the children of Israel unto himself and to try to destroy him as a nation. What do these men do? Pervert the word of God. They cannot do it. Now listen, let me show you the end time. Over here in Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Go to perfection. What is it? This will do if God permit. It's impossible for those who are once for all enlightened. That's the last time there'll ever be a revelation. Taste the heavenly gift. Partake the Holy Ghost. Taste the good word of God. The powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away. Now let me tell you something. Before this can ever happen, there has got to be a vindicated number one prophet. Because how in the world are you going to get they knowing enlightenment? Because enlightenment does not come except from one person. Right, he must be the vindicated prophet. And this is the last time men can change their minds. This is exactly the book of Revelation chapter 3, 14 to 21. When he gives, he said, I've got one message for you, and that is repent, which is to change your mind. And the changing of the mind is the renewing of the mind that brings about the metamorphosis. And it is a ministry, which is a ministry of the word, which is vindicated, proving the word is going to do it to you. But if you can't see vindication, you're never going to get the word that's going to do it in. But that's 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verses 18 to chapter 4, about verses 1 to 5. So you understand what I'm saying here? Hebrews 6 parallels exactly over here in Matthew 4. That's why I believe Brother Branham took Matthew 4 as it goes on and talks about Isaiah when the Holy Spirit comes back and deals with the Gentiles. Right. Because the Holy Spirit does come back in a form of a pillar of fire, completely invades and takes over William Branham, so that the acts are of God and the words are of God, and the people have the last chance to repent. Now, hey, come on, look at this thing here. In Hebrews. I showed you this before, but let's look at it again. What's happening? We are on our way to perfection. We're on our way to immortality. And at this time, they're enlightened. Taste the heavenly gift. Partake the Holy Ghost. Taste the good word of God. And the powers of the world to come. Now look, when you begin to understand what Brother Branham was able to do, that is, God did through him, as he said, he had more success in my ministry than his own. And you see what false anointed ones can do. You are literally looking at the future millennium. You are already being equipped to going in. And if you're not equipped to go in, you are not going in. And there isn't one seed that's not equipped to go in. Now he tells you here, having fallen away. Now who falls away? There's a mixed multitude. See? And as they fall away from the truth. And Brother Branham was so sincere and so scared, he said, I've got one fear. He said, that you, the people I leave behind me, he said, they will let carelessness and the things of this life come in and take away from the word. And I've got the same fear here, and I got it for you, and I got it for me. Because it's so easy. Now, so you're looking at this thing. They crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh. Now, where did the crucifixion of Christ start? The crucifixion of Christ started immediately by Satan, who tried to crucify his mind to take it over and to come against God. But he wouldn't allow it. So now we have at this end time here, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And remember, Jesus absolutely said, the words that I speak are not my own. And people marvel at that. But that's the simplicity of an ordained word prophet. Moses was no different. Isaiah was no different. Amos was no different. Hosea was no different. Ezekiel was no different. Jeremiah was no different. Paul was no different. There is no word prophet who is different. Now you can do what you want about it. Every one of those prophets were a part of him. And he was the whole of it because each one had a part of the word. So, well, you're looking at this thing, and Brother Branham is now talking about the truth at the end time. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. No, not now. 109 on page 22. Let us now notice this quickening spirit as it comes upon other people, like it did on the day of Pentecost. Now he's going back in history, the other people, like Pentecost. See? Now, in spite of the unreal, there's a real. Because right at Pentecost, Peter admitted, down the road, the Spirit would fall upon anybody and everybody. And he said, your sons and your daughters prophesy, my sons and my daughters. Now, let us notice Pentecost, how they acted. And see if they were quickened by this quickening power we're talking about. And listen, I'm going to add to it, and now is here. Because it's true. Because he equated the resurrection literally to the baptism. Because without the Holy Ghost present, God being there, then God actually quickening that body, it would not have come back. It wasn't just enough that God stand there. Just any more than you can have the electricity out there and the pole out there, and you get lights in here. You better hook up. And it takes a direct charge. So God actually charged the atoms of Jesus Christ. He literally raised him from the dead. Now, on the day of Pentecost, they were all waiting there. In themselves, they were afraid of the Jews and what they were going to do to them, so they got scared. What happened? When this quickening power fell from heaven, there was a bravery, he calls it bravery, a braveness, a fearlessness set upon them. There was something, an understanding, where they were not too sure of it a few hours ago. In other words, in spite of what they knew of Christ being raised from the dead, in spite of consorting with him and knowing all those things, that in itself was not the answer. They themselves must have the quickening power of the Holy Ghost in their own lives. Now he said here, that which they were afraid of, they were no longer afraid. Now listen, watch carefully these words as I read them all. They knew that he died. They knew that he'd risen. They'd talked to him on the way. But was that thing for them? Or was it just for them? Or for Jesus himself? In other words, is it something just for Jesus? Is it something for them only? Is it for somebody else? What's the scope of it? What is it all about? What's the scope? But here on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the abstract, fell upon the believers. Now, he's making the Holy Spirit and the abstract one and the same, and that's true. Because it's all bound up in the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you've got it all. Listen, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And my question for many years has been this. When God joined his spirit to your spirit, did your spirit get dirty? No, it got clean. Then did it make God's spirit dirty? No way. Well, you got to make up your mind. Now, how do you get joined to God? The Holy Spirit falls upon your soul. That goes back upon the Spirit. And the person becomes one before God. Don't worry about your flesh. It's going to die anyway. I don't care if you got the Holy Ghost 40 times over. You're going to die. Unless it's time for immortality. The Bible says so. That's Romans 8. Body dead because of sin. Spirit is life because of righteousness. Spirit is life because of righteousness. He that joined the Lord is one spirit. He that hath not the Spirit of God is none of his. See? You got to understand. All right. Now, the abstract fell upon the believers. That made them part of his resurrection, made them part of his fellowship. What is his fellowship? With the Father and with his children. In the midst of the church singing praise unto God. If we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us. You can't have it without the baptism. The Holy Spirit came and confirmed to them that they would be raised up because they were potentially raised then from cowards to brave men. Now, let's get this flat. When these people at Pentecost, Peter, James, John, performed the great miracles, which they did by the power of the Holy Ghost, the people said, a notable miracle has been done, we cannot deny it. So bring those boys in and beat the tar out of them and shut their mouths. So they said, I'll tell you what, gang, said the priest and his cohorts, like they'll do today. you got something. But it ain't up to much. But tell you what, shut your mouths or we'll get you. Why, they said, just a minute, just a minute. You mean to tell us we're going to shut our mouths when God said open them? Drop dead. Brother Bannon talks of being ashamed of the word. That's what we're talking about right here. At one time they had not the true answer. But when the Holy Spirit came and quickened to them the word that they already had received and had been manifested. And remember, Paul down the road got way more. He got the whole thing. They stood up there and they said, what we know is that this Jesus that David spoke of and our forefathers, Moses and the prophets spoke of, you killed him by wicked hands and God raised him and this is the evidence and we're going to preach it. And they said, you do and you'll die. They said, well, we're going to die. Ask you a question. Why did they kill Polycarp? For preaching. Why did they kill Paul? For preaching. Why did they kill Peter? Preaching. Why did they kill Well, they couldn't kill John. They tried to boil him to death. He died naturally. Had to let him go. What about the rest of the folk? Preaching. Why did they kill Stephen? Preaching. Time over? That's about time to go, is right. Well, I will read this last bit. Now look. They became very brave. They were no longer cowards. They were afraid of the very word that they thought. Don't let this pass over you. They were afraid. Now they knew that he was the word, even Logos. Even the Jews had to admit it. Rabbi, you're a teacher sent from God. No man does anything except God be with him. They recognized that. So the disciples, Peter even swore in his presence, all of them had forsaken him at the crucifixion. But here they are now, up in this upper room, in the presence of God. Then all of a sudden, here came the Holy Spirit down from heaven, and it quickened them. When the quickening took place, they were not afraid to make a witness to the message that they believed and knew to be the truth. Otherwise, they would have been afraid of it. The same thing holds today. How can a man say he's got the Holy Ghost and be ashamed of this message or be afraid of it? Now, I'm supposed to be like these other guys out there. So are you. And if you're like them, be my guest. Be that way. It's your privilege. But I got one prayer, not to be the sweetest guy in the world. I wish you were. Brother Ben said it wouldn't be. But I hope I've got the guts. I don't know if I have or not. Brother, I can't boast. That I'll give tit for tat. They take me one down one side, I'll take them down the other. Stand with this word. Because this word is vindicated. And there's no place else to go unless you want to go to hell as far as I'm concerned. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your love and grace and mercy and all those things you load upon us. Enduring mercies, abundant, eternal, and infinite. That's the word we're thinking of. Brought about through your omniscience, devolving upon us by your omnipotence. So we can say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Paul was exactly right. It wouldn't matter. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, the conduit being the word, Lord, I believe will make us stand there, be it persecution, famine, or death. There's got to be somebody. And if there's not somebody in this church here, there's going to be somebody out there. I know that. If we end up acting like chickens because we are chickens, we know there's going to be eagles out there, Lord. That's for sure. It's been demonstrated. I hope at least then we can stand by as friends of the bridegroom. I believe, Lord, it goes beyond that. I believe somehow you give us that which is in your spirit, Lord, your nature, the way you do things, to help a people to stand there with that word. That word that Brother Branham described so perfectly. Those people knew, but they didn't know that they knew. And there are people today believe this word, but they don't know that they know, and some will never know. Because they turned on a revelation. But Father, we've tried. My brother Branham said, against my better judgment. He just wanted to be a trapper. But his judgment said, hey, trap. But Lord, you stepped in. He just stood there and told us what he was as a man. Moses, they're all the same way. You're the only one, Jesus, that ever stood there perfect. And you were perfection for us, and now help us to believe, that's all. Because we can believe. You're the perfect one that performed it. And we can believe in your performance. We really can. We know we can. If we've got that little seed of life in us, absolutely it's going to be that way, Lord. Whatever part we are in the body, we'll manifest it for your honor and glory. Help us tonight, Lord, to be the way you want us to be. We give you praise. Help us, Lord, the remainder of this service of communion foot washing, we give thee praise even greater measure in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, time got away. It's all right. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians 11. My Bible is trained. It just opens. Perfect. Good to have a trained Bible. All right. We'll read it. Just a second. You know, Paul got this by revelation. Never forget that. You know, if you forget that, you say, well, you know, somebody came and talked to Paul. You know, back in those days, he heard those rumors. He heard about this one Jesus that's supposed to have died, and they cut him up in pieces. This and that. He might have heard that. I don't know. I don't know what he heard. But he says right here, he did not know this except God told him. And you'll find that this is exactly according to the 13th chapter of John and so on. And you'll find that every single thing that Paul taught, Jesus already said it. I remember I went and told you in a little tiny little independent Baptist Bible college. It's a cute little place, you know, nice people. You know, they had a lot of sin there. A lot of grace, I guess. And they said that Jesus never gave the revelation of the of predestination. It was Paul that did it. And yet I can go to John chapter 6 and John chapter 8, and it's nothing but predestination. Just don't believe a Baptist, if he's independent. Don't believe anybody but a vindicated prophet. See, because it's too late, you're a different story. All right. For I have received, verse 23, for I have received the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. And I like that because, you see, he said, I'm freed from the blood of all men because they haven't held a thing back. You know what that man's saying? He said, I didn't add one word. I didn't take one word. I'm free. How are you going to get free tonight? Don't add a word and don't take a word. See? Get your mind like the mind of the prophets. God will help you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The Catholics still believe that the life is in it. And they got all kinds of reasons and everything else. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink in remembrance of me. As oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthy shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh judgment, condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Why, he's not understanding what was accomplished. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, that is, many people die. He tells us there, that if you, like Brother Branham said, that the sweet spirit of Christ comes into the church and the sick are healed. The sweet spirit of Christ absolutely has to be where communion and foot washing takes place. Because it is a spirit of self-sacrifice. It's a spirit of where he got out of the way and gave himself that others may have life. He became sin and a sin offering. Actually, what it is, he became a sin offering. He that knew no sin, he didn't have to have one. If you don't sin, you don't have to have an offering. It's only when you sin. He himself became the offering for you and for me. And for this Holy Spirit to really impress that upon us, as Brother Branham said, the sweet spirit of Christ come into the church, taking this message for our healing, we can be healed. Brother Branham did not castigate or deny people the privilege of laying on hands, but he said that is a Jewish custom. It isn't necessary. He tried to get the people to the place where they would believe him to the extent that they'd be healed sitting in their seats. But remember this one thing. His message was not to be received by very many. It just wasn't. If his message had been received by the multitudes, he would not have been that one. Because you can't have the days of Noah. 8 people in the ark. And that's said flat. We're not saying 8 people. We're just saying a very few number. That's what it amounts to. You simply cannot have many when there's hardly any. I mean, let's face it. Now let's look at the few people in this message. If every single person that names the name of William Branham honestly and sincerely and has a relatively good understanding of the message, they would be so few out of the 6 billion people on earth that they'd sure be 8 souls in the ark. So don't look at yourselves and say, well, hey, I don't think I'm going to make it. Now, don't be one of those people who say, well, if I don't make it, nobody's going to make it. Now, you see, that's being foolish. You see, by the grace of God, I believe. There's something I don't have. He'll supply it because he promised it. I've taken the first step. I'm the eagle that recognized the cry. So many people, as they heard Brother Branham, they just turned right away. I don't know if David Duplessis is dead or not. I don't care if he is or not, but I know Gordon Lindsay is. But right in a high, down at Middletown, right around Hamilton area, Chautauqua, they told the people flat, Brother Branham discerns, he tells the truth, he acts like a prophet. He's a prophet in that area. When it comes to doctrine, don't believe him, he hasn't got it right. How could a man have thus saith the Lord, like Moses and Paul? The very Bible says Jesus began both to do and to teach. And this man comes on the scene 100% vindicated, take a gift of healing to the world. He lays it before the people. And now when he speaks the word of God, he can't have it? Well, just a minute. If this guy's got $1 billion in gold and doesn't have it, and these guys got 2 bits worth of tin and they do have it, isn't there something wrong, brother? That's spiritual insanity. Amen. That's not just spiritual insanity. That's a corruption of the pride of the devil. That's man with these peanut 2 bits bonding himself against the judge, the ruler of the whole earth. The man says, I believe this Bible. He's a liar because the Bible condemns him. Well, sir, that's the truth. Well, don't be afraid of the Word. Stand with it. I believe the more you'll stand with the Word, the more Christ will stand with you. And the more He stands with you and me, the sweeter we'll get in that Word. And it doesn't mean the world's kind of sweetness is, well, I can just let this go. Well, you know, if that offends you, I won't bring it up. Hogwash. You think you can sit here for 1 minute and come against this Word? You're not a nice person like you think you are. You may be diplomatic. You may be suave. But you're just a liar. And you call that sweet? I call it hypocrisy. God for it. Paul, write down the words. Said, look, I've received it. I give it to you. I'm free from the blood of every person. Now, if I can stand here tonight and preach this word honestly, sincerely, word by word from the prophet, and let's say I'm true. Let's say that I am right. I can't prove anything. I've never told you. Did you listen to me as any kind of authority? Listen to your pastor, this or that, to take you through. He'll take you through all right. You get through the wrong gates. No, nobody can tell you that. But if let's just say for 1 minute I have told you the truth. I don't have anybody's blood on me tonight. So, Brother Bale, you insulted me. That's Lee Bale. That's nothing to do with the red. That's nothing. I can apologize for that. That's no problem. The big thing is this word your mind, my mind, one with the Word that's been vindicated. I want to ask you, if that's the truth, then what spirit is in us and with us? You say, well, it's got to be the Spirit of Christ. Then I want to ask you a question. Was the Spirit of Christ anything but sweet? There's your answer. Sweet Spirit of Christ is amongst us. We're just not believing. Can anybody be healed tonight passing through this line? Sure, anybody and everybody. No problem. That's the Word of God. Let's rise at this time. The brethren come forward quickly, and those that are going to play. This point on, we just remember foot washing back yonder and foot washing here too. Are we ready? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, again we want to approach your great throne of grace and of mercy and of love and sweetness, the sweetness of Christ. We know, Lord, that we look at ourselves this way, that way, and we sort of draw away from the real truth, the real sweetness, which always was with your prophet and has to be with people full of the Holy Ghost. Because, Lord, we don't intend to use you wrong, or do we want to in any way? And if we have, we certainly humbly apologize and ask for that sweet Spirit of Christ to come amongst us, healing the sick as they pass by, taking these emblems, Lord, and believing the truth as it has come forth vindicated. Help to that extent, Lord, we give you the glory in Jesus Christ.